Hey everyone, this is John, and this is the Nintendo Show, the best Nintendo podcast on the internet. I am solo for this week, and it's not really a typical show in the sort of order that we do things, and usually at the beginning of the month, as it is the first show for the July 2022. We do a Pokemon show, but we are not all here together. And also, there are going to be 5 weekends in July. We typically post the shows on Sunday, sometimes Monday, but there are going to be 5 weeks or five Sundays in the month of July, which would be, you know, one more show than we typically do, so we decided to take the week off. But there are some games that I wanted to talk about. On the official show last week, we did not discuss any of the news, and we really briefly went over new releases that are coming out in July, but we spent a bulk of the time talking about new games that came out in June. So I wanted to take this time to talk about some of the new game announcements and a lot of the games that are coming up for the rest of the year. So as there was a Nintendo Direct, we got a few cool announcements, some new stuff, as well as some confirmations of release dates. So I'm going to go through and just kind of do a month-by-month preview of the rest of the year and into next year, and just talk about the games that we know are coming. So to get things started, we didn't talk about, when we talked about new releases for June, we didn't discuss Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak, the Monster Hunter Rise DLC. That came out on June 30th. It's definitely worth mentioning. They did show this one at the Nintendo Direct partner showcase that they did about a week ago. And this was it's an interesting way to open up the show for this DLC, because it was like a 25-minute presentation, and 4 minutes was some footage from the DLC for this game, which is a lot of time to spend on a game that had already gotten like its own like Capcom Presents kind of thing. But looks like some pretty substantial DLC. It's not something that I'm going to be engaging with because there's too many other games coming out right now. And I think I've had enough Monster Hunter personally for a while. But, you know, lots of new stuff to do in that game if it's a game that anyone is still playing who is listening. And also on June 30th, Cuphead, The Delicious Last Course came out. Also worth mentioning, some substantial DLC for a game that we all really liked here. Had a good time with that game. Haven't picked this one up yet, but I might grab it for the next time we do a recording so that we can do some co-op with some of the new levels that were made for this game. So very cool that it got such a big level pack, such a big addition to the game. In the Nintendo Direct, they shadow dropped a couple of games that are, of course, now available. Little Noah, Scion of Paradise. This is a little, I'm not sure who developer published this one, but it's a little indie-looking, like, side-scrolling action game with some RPG elements to it, which is a very broad blanket of a genre. But yeah, this one looks pretty cool. Again, too many other games. I might wishlist this one, keep an eye out for a sale or something. But so many other games to get to right now that it hardly seems worth it to and dump even more money onto the eShop for something I'm not going to play immediately. And then also shadow dropped was the Portal Companion Collection. And this one I definitely wishlisted and I'm going to get to at some point. Portal 1 in particular is not a very long game. You can get through it very quickly. But these are very highly regarded sort of first-person puzzle games. So I'm looking forward to getting to those at some point pretty soon. And Ryan also highly recommends this game. He really likes the Portal games. Very, very high in his list. So let's get into the month of July games that we know are coming. We got some confirmed release dates. Some of these we did touch on real briefly during the official show, so we'll just get through them pretty quickly here. Klonoa, the first and second game remakes, is out on July 8th. Super looking forward to that one. That is a day one buy. Really looking forward to getting to another 2D platformer. So I'll have some thoughts on that one on the mini show and probably also on the official show at the end of the month. And then also Fist is out July 12th. I'm not sure if we mentioned that one on the official show last week or not. That's a game that we talked about when it was announced coming to Switch. It is a 2D, almost like a 2D action game, like a Metroid. I'm not sure how Metroid-y it is. I don't know if like the levels are, like if it's a persistent world or if it's more level-based where you're just working level by level. Can't say for sure, but it has a really cool sort of a more photorealistic art style to it. Really nice looking game. And that one I think I'm going to stick on the list to see if I get some time at some point or it goes on a sale or something. Also, River City Saga 3 Kingdoms is out the 21st, and Capcom Arcade Stadium 2 out on the same day. Live Alive is out the 22nd of July, and this one they did showcase on the Direct, and they dropped a demo for the game, which isn't super long. I think it's like maybe an hour and a half. You might be able to stretch 2 hours out of that demo, but basically, how it seems like the game works is there are different chapters, different playable storylines, playable narratives that you go through, and you can kind of swap between seemingly at your leisure to, like when you save, you can swap between which storyline you're playing as, so you can kind of mix it up a little bit. I don't know if there's going to be any sort of intersection, but what they did was they give you three of these playable narratives, and you get to play the first 30 or 45 minutes of each journey. So they have the ancient China, I think it was, where you're playing as this sort of monk or religious figure who needs to find the successor. And so you go through, like, you go to a couple of different locations in the overworld, and you recruit party members, and they become like candidates for your to be your successor, to be the next person who's going to take up the mantle of whatever sort of organization or religious what's the word I'm looking for? Whatever sort of religious group this person is representing. So the battles themselves, I don't know how much strategy. Obviously, this is a demo, so looking for some very broad strokes here. I don't know how much strategy or intricacy there's going to be in these demos or in these different chapters. So all four of the playable characters, once you got them all, are available in the field, and they all have their own skills. And it's similar to Final Fantasy in that there's an active time bar for each of your characters. And of course, once it fills up, you get to execute an action. And there doesn't seem to be any sort of MP or anything, but all of your characters have different skills, and you can pick from any of them as if they're a normal attack and or a normal melee attack. And each skill will have a sort of area of effect, or the battles are, I should start here. The battles are laid out on a grid, and every attack will have sort of like its area that it hits, and sometimes not necessarily an area of effect, but sometimes there's like a checkerboard effect where it has squares that will hit and squares that it won't hit. Sometimes it blooms out, sometimes it's directly in front of you. But each character is going to have different skills that will have a different area of effect like that. And sometimes they'll even have effects as in like paralyze an enemy or cause an area on the ground that will then do burn damage or chip damage like that, as long as the enemy or you occupy those squares. So you do have freedom of movement. While you're moving around, though, the time bars will fill up, so you kind of want to do that quickly to set yourself up. And some of your more powerful skills will have like a cast time, rather than just being able to execute them immediately. So this game seems pretty cool. Art style is really nice. I also played through the Endo Japan chapter, which was more of a stealth chapter, and it was like counting how many kills that I got. I'm not sure exactly how that affects the outcome of the game. I got to a part in the demo where I might have been a little bit off the path, the recommended path, because I encountered five of these ninja warrior enemies who ambushed me in an attic and were way out of my class. So after loading a save point, I went in a different direction and just reached the end without having to encounter them again. So I wonder if that's something for like a new game plus scenario where you're not going to want to take them on your first time through the game. But like any RPG, there's level ups and skills that you learn and equipment. A lot of the equipment I found is kind of found by scavenging around and trying to poke at the walls and see what things I could pick up. I have not gotten to the distant future scenario yet, which looks pretty cool, but hopefully be able to get to that at some point because all of the save data will transfer over, which is exactly what you should be doing with a demo. Really great that that's the route that they took. Very, very cool. Also, Azure Striker Gunvolt 3 is out on the 28th. It'll be nice to have a little 2D action side-scrolling game to go in with all of the RPGs that have been coming out recently. Captain Meteor, the Jump Plus Dimension, is out on the 28th. That was one that got a little snippet in the Partner Direct that they did. Has a little bit of like a isometric tactics look to it. Don't know much about this game, but it's one. There's so many other games, I can't pay attention to this one. It's going to probably fly completely under the radar. And then, of course, Xenoblade Chronicles 3 is out on the 29th. Super excited. Really, really looking forward to that one. I'm still on media blackout. I have picked up some things here and there despite my best efforts, but I'm really excited to be spending most of the rest of the year with that game. It's going to be really good. So July, really great month, especially for RPGs. It's even got like action games and a platformer and Klonoa in there as well. So really great variety. June was a really great month. July looks to keep it going. And as we move into August, you know, still going to be playing Xenoblade 3. That game might as well be coming out in August. It's 2 days before. So that's carrying a lot of the momentum forward. And then there are a few games worth paying attention to. Not a ton, though. Mostly indie games. Cult of the Lamb. Well, I guess indie in a really broad sense. Cult of the Lamb is from Devolver Digital. But that is a very Devolver Digital game. And that's irreverent and has this quirky tone and characterization to it. So it's a isometric, sort of a procedurally generated action looter game. And it seems like you're building up your cult compound as you worship this lamb and build statues to it and shit. And this is sort of a cultish cult. So it's an interesting looking game. The fact that it's procedurally generated means that I probably won't be engaging with it, but it does have a nice style to it. So I think that it's definitely worth paying attention to. Blossom Tales 2 is out a few days later on August 16th. That is, of course, a really cool looking game. Blossom Tales was one of the original sort of indie darlings on Switch. There were, it was out within the first year. I think it came out toward the end of the first year of the Switch back in 2017. But at that point, you know, there were a bunch of really great indie games like, Snipperclips might count, as well as something like a Blaster Master Zero. Like these, not necessarily like independent studios, but like smaller games. And this was one that was also very well regarded. Really cool game, kind of a more action-based Zelda. Really looking forward to getting into that one. That is almost definitely a day one buy for me. RPG Time, The Legend of Wright, is another cool-looking game out on the 18th of August. That one was featured in the Partner Direct. And it's this a drawing book art style RPG. Where having like the fact that you are in like a drawing book or drawing pad is a mechanic of the game, and things outside of the actual artwork of the game affect things like an eraser and a calculator. It's a really interesting looking game. I'm definitely wishlisting this one. Don't know if I'm going to get to it immediately, but very cool, really unique looking game, and one that's absolutely worth paying attention to. And then wrapping up August for games that we know about so far is Pac-Man World Repack, which is a remake of, I think, the PS1 Pac-Man World game, which kind of made Pac-Man a 3D platformer, but it has more than just 3D platforming in it. It also has like a top-down like space shooter game or section to it, which is kind of funny. And this is a game that is not on my radar. It was featured in the partner directors where they announced it. So, you know, pretty cool that this game is getting a remake, but I'm not super interested in playing this sort of a 3D platformer, and Pac-Man is not a character that I follow particularly closely. Made in Abyss got a release date for September 2nd, moving into September, as well as Temtem, if anyone remembers Temtem, that got a release date for September 6th on Switch, and I think that's finally going into 1.0, so out of like early access or pre-release condition. So it's nice that we're finally able to finish that game. But it was kind of pitched as the Pokemon killer way, way, way back when. It feels like it's been years since this game was announced. We might have like gotten a new generation of Pokemon before this game finally came out. And then one that they talked about on the partner direct really briefly was Disney Dreamlight Valley. That's coming out on September 6th in early access. I don't know if this game is going to be like free in early access and then maybe charge you for it later, or if it's going to be like microtransaction to death. But it's kind of like a Harvest Moon or something with Disney characters. It's something that I could download for Ripley on the Switch Lite to see if she likes it, because she really digs the, I think it's Disney Magical Kingdom 2 is one that I got for her this past December, and she really digs that game. She plays it a lot. But the big release for September for first-party games is Splatoon 3. That one's out on September 9th, and I'm going to be getting that game as well. I'm putting some time aside for the single player. I'm probably playing some Salmon Run. Hopefully they open up Salmon Run to any time, because on Splatoon 2 it was only like certain days at certain times you could even access Salmon Run. It'd be really great to have that cooperative mode opened up more often. And you know, I don't know how much I'll actually engage with the competitive online stuff. I played a bunch of that on Splatoon 2. I got a whole lot more out of Splatoon 2 than I did Splatoon 1 when it came to that online stuff. But yeah, I think Splatoon always handles the online stuff, I think, really well. I think it always has like a good matchmaking and a good ranking system to kind of match you with people sort of in your skill level. But even at a certain point, like even when I'm being matched people with my skill level, I end up feeling outclassed. So probably just stick with Salmon Run in this game. Plus, so many other games coming out. It's I'm still going to be chugging through Xenoblade 3 at that point, so I might not have too much time to dedicate to Splatoon 3 outside of the single player mode and some Salmon Run. September so far, not a super busy month in terms of high profile releases, but you know, we'll probably get a couple more games announced for August and September as the weeks go on and get a clearer view of how those months are going to shape up. We know a lot about October, and there are a lot of games announced and given release dates for October in the partner direct that they did. The only game that was not in the partner direct that I'm going to talk about was Overwatch 2. That one's out on October 2nd. I don't know a whole lot about Overwatch. Wes and Ryan could probably break this one down a little bit more than I could. But cool, that one got a release date. We got a brand new announcement of a port. Nier Automata is coming to the Switch on October 6th. I played this one about a year ago on PS4, and I'm pretty excited that it's coming to Switch because it's a cool game. I think when I initially played it, the perception that I had was that it was more of an RPG and more of an open world, but you know, it's not. It's more, it's definitely a straight up action game. It's a bit closer to a Bayonetta, I suppose. It's not level based or mission based like Bayonetta. There is a sort of openness to the game that, you know, you can go at a certain point, like areas will open up and you go to any one of them at your leisure and, you know, look for side quests and stuff and things to collect. There's not a whole lot to do in the open world aside from like fight enemies that respawn. You can kind of like grind out gear to upgrade your stuff. My first playthrough of the game, I did not really have to grind out any particularly special gear. I was just kind of able to make it through with the stuff that I was just encountering throughout the game. there, you know, there's a good amount of side quests and there's a good amount of substance to the game. And like subsequent playthroughs, you're playing as different characters. So it kind of gives you a new perspective and a new gameplay mechanics as you're working through. But your side quest progress will carry over, which is really nice. So I was meant to go back and give it a second playthrough and then possibly a third playthrough. I think like there's, in order to experience like the full narrative, if you're interested in that sort of thing, you play through it four times. But I don't know, subsequent playthroughs are a little bit faster. And the first playthrough I did took me maybe 15 to 20 hours, so it's not a super long game. But I think it's a game that is well worth a look on Switch because, you know, with that portability, it makes it easier to digest, especially these sort of like mid-length games that are like 15 to 20 hours. And I think it's I'd be much more inclined to do multiple playthroughs on the Switch rather than the PS4 because it's just my preferred platform. So I am not 100% sure if I'm going to be buying this one immediately, but it's one that I'm absolutely keeping an eye on to see how it's shaping up. On October 7th, the day after, we're getting No Man's Sky, and this one was shown briefly in a little sizzle reel on the Partner Direct. It's a pretty well-known quantity at this point, not a game that I'm particularly interested in. I think Wes played it for a little while, so he might be able to give some thoughts on it when we get to the official show for that game. Also, Plague Tale Requiem is coming out on October 18th on a cloud version. This is a nice-looking game, but I'm not particularly interested in engaging with a game that's only available on the cloud right now. Maybe someday we'll get to that point, but I'd much rather actually own the thing that I'm paying for at this point. And they showed a bit of Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope and got a release date for October 20th. Then they also did, Ubisoft did their own presentation the next day after the Partner Direct, where they showed a bit more. But they showed a substantial amount of the battle system in the Partner Direct and like the more like free-roaming mechanics of the battle system and how you kind of flip-flop between characters and kind of set yourself up for bigger attacks and like more effective, more efficient methods of taking out enemies. So I'm looking forward to this one. I don't know if it's going to be a day one purchase. Kind of depends on, you know, if I feel like playing Nier Automata, what other games are coming out, how I'm feeling about Ubisoft at the time. Ubisoft is not a company that I like to support because of all of the allegations of sexual misconduct that were surrounding them, and it seems like they haven't really done much about that. All the people who, you know, had been accused haven't really answered for anything. I don't blame anyone for wanting to pick up an Ubisoft game like day one, pay full price for it, to give Ubisoft money. Everyone is totally free to do whatever they want with their money. And there are other people who work at Ubisoft, you know, who actually make games, who, you know, probably have not engaged in any sort of misconduct. The majority of people who work at Ubisoft probably have not engaged in any sort of misconduct. So, you know, wanting to buy the games day one, brand new, because you want the game and also to support people who work at that company who aren't a bunch of creeps is totally fair. So I think I'm not likely to give Ubisoft my money, but I also wouldn't hold it against anyone who just wants to play the game. But yeah, it's a really cool looking game. I'm looking forward to getting to it at some point. I'm really excited for the game. Bowser is going to be playable, which is great. Yoshi and Rabbid Yoshi have been cut from the roster, which is a bit of a bummer. And there's also like some sort of emo edgelord rabbit dude that has a sword that's joining the party, which, you know, might be kind of fun. We'll see. It always has like a really obnoxious sense of humor to it, which I think works. It's kind of like gets compared a lot to the Minions, who, you know, I find tolerable. I'm not completely turned off by Minions. And then on October 21st, we finally got the long-rumored announcement for Persona 5 Royale. It is coming to Switch. I'm pretty excited for this one as well. I played Persona 5 on PS4 not too long ago. I ended up tapping out during the final boss rush because in between these really lengthy boss fights, you don't have any opportunity to restore your MP. So I ended up just getting to a point where I was just ineffectual in battle and just couldn't dish out enough damage to finish them off quickly enough. So I kind of got soft locked into a situation there. It's a game that I will probably get at some point on Switch so that I can play through it again and actually play through it to completion. But it's also a game where I play through them very slowly, these Persona games. Like, I'll actually play through them almost in real time. Or they're sort of... Persona games, if you're unfamiliar, are sort of structured as these, like, calendar year-long journeys through, like, a school year. And you're playing through as a protagonist, you're playing through a school year, you're going through dungeons and fighting monsters, and also, like, building up your relationships with all of your schoolmates and party members, and that will make you more effective in fights. And so what I'll do is, like, if the game starts in April, and the in-game calendar, I'll start up the game in April in the, you know, real-world calendar, and just kind of play through it month by month. And it makes these really long games more digestible. And it actually makes me, like, look forward to playing it more, because I'll end up, like, sometimes spending as many as 20 hours in any given month, sometimes as little as 10 hours in any given month. But I kind of, like, end up setting aside this time. Okay, well, here's, I'm going to take this week and play through this month of Persona. And it makes it kind of fun to take my time a little bit more with the game and see everything it has to offer. But apparently I did not do enough within the game so that it offered me items to restore my MP. Should have looked for those a little bit harder. But then also announced at the same time as Persona 5, Persona 3 Portable and Persona 4 Golden also coming to Switch. Don't have release dates for those ones yet, but those ones I am definitely going to be picking up as well. I've played through both of them before, way back on PS2. It'll be nice to have them on a more modern system and also a portable system so that I can play through them more slowly, deliberately, so that I don't have to keep a PS2 hooked up. But yeah, October, super busy month. A lot of really interesting looking games. I will probably still be playing through Xenoblade 3. And hopefully I'll be able to get to games like Nier Automata, Mario + Rabbids, and Persona 5 at some point. Almost assuredly, I'll be able to get to one of those in October. But yeah, another month. And like, then that's just like the high profile, like AAA physical releases. We don't really have a lot of information for a lot of like the smaller downloadable and independent games that are coming out that month. October is going to be a really, really busy one. November, so far, we don't have a whole lot confirmed yet. Square Enix announced a new game called Harvestella at the Partner Direct. That one's out on November 4th. It's a sort of like Square Enix take on like something like a Rune Factory. It's a really nice looking game. It's got like a really nice like photorealistic high fantasy art style to it. But a lot like a Harvest Moon, not a Harvest Moon, Rune Factory. You are, you know, doing your farming and then you're engaging in your RPG fights and dungeon crawling in the other half of the game. There's probably going to be like dating simulation things in it as well. Like, this is pretty well-worn territory. Not on my radar, not my particular style of game, but you know, it's kind of feels a little bit like Me Too-ish with in the context of like Square Enix like chasing a trend. So I don't know. It's Square Enix, so it'll probably like have good production value and be a quality game, really well polished. It kind of feels like a little bit late to the party on this one though. And then Pokemon Scarlet and Violet are coming out November 18th. So pumped for this. It's going to be really, really good. I'm 100% in for Scarlet version. Super, super excited. Couldn't be more excited for this new generation of Pokemon. It's going to be really good. And we do have a game for December. This was another one that Square Enix announced during the Partner Direct. Dragon Quest Treasures is out December 9th. This one, it looks like it's using like the same engine, I suppose, for Dragon Quest 11 that came to Switch a couple years back. And it is a game That it's not like a turn-taking RPG. This is more of like an action game where you're going around the world and your objective is to like recruit the Dragon Quest monsters, and they will give you abilities. Like the ones that they showed were, you know, you bounce on a slime to get a higher jump. You glide or fly holding on to the legs of a Draki. And you can also have your monsters, if you recruited, like come out into the battlefield and fight enemies for you. Well, basically your objective is you're working through these areas and you're collecting treasure. So it looks to be a bit, maybe not like 100% open world, but you have open zones where you're going through and like harvesting all of your treasures and fighting monsters and recruiting new things. It's an interesting looking game. I am much more interested in this one than something like a Harvestella. It is coming hot on the heels of Pokemon, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to get to it. But yeah, this is also one that's really worth keeping an eye on. Okay, so there are a number of games that are confirmed for 2022 where we don't have solid release dates. There is a game that was announced during the Partner Direct called Railgrade that is confirmed for fall of 2022. And I am weirdly into this game. So your objective is like, it's just logistics. It's pure logistics. What you're doing is you're building rails in order to create the most efficient lines of supply to move places from one thing to another. I gotta say, like, it's a really nice looking game. The art, the visuals are really nice. I don't know, like, whether I get it or not is going to depend a lot on what's coming out around it in fall. If it's October, forget about it. But yeah, it's weird. Like, I'm weirdly into this one. I shouldn't be, but I am. Also, Yomiwari Lost in the Dark is a little top-down, almost top-down, kind of isometric horror game that's coming out in fall of 2022. That's one worth keeping an eye out for. They showed a bit more of Sonic Frontiers coming out in holiday 2022. They showed more of that in the Partner Direct, I should say. I don't care at all about Sonic. One that was announced before the Partner Direct was Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core. That one's coming to the Switch in winter of 2022. That could also mean fiscal year 2022. But that's one that I'm definitely going to be picking up when it comes out. I've never played Crisis Core. I've really been digging the Final Fantasy VII remake, and I, of course, love the original Final Fantasy VII. So it's going to be cool to finally get my hands on this game, which I think was, like, been PSP exclusive for a long time now. So really cool this one's getting a remake or a slash remaster. I've seen some side-by-side visual comparisons, and this Switch version, as well as other platforms, does look very much visually enhanced from the PSP. There's a new Monkey Island game, Return to Monkey Island, that was announced at the Partner Direct. That one's coming to Switch sometime in 2022. So, very cool that this sort of point-and-click style adventure game is getting a new entry. And then Doraemon Story of Seasons is also getting a 2022 release on Switch. This is another one very much like a Harvest Moon, Rune Factory style looking farming game. So some other games that we do have a 2022 release date for, but no confirmed date. Bayonetta 3 is still supposedly coming at some time this year. If I were to make a prediction, I think we're probably looking at November, which I think would be totally fine. Sports Story is allegedly still coming this year. We'll see. We'll see about that one. The Life is Strange Remastered Collection should still be coming at some point this year, as well as The Outer Wilds, which you haven't heard anything about that game in quite some time. There's a sequel to Oxenfree, Lost Signals. That one's coming out on Switch at some point this year. Metal Slug Tactics is still slated for 2022, as is River City Girls 2. The Ninja Turtles Cowabunga Collection should be sometime this year as well. And I really don't know about Advance Wars at this point. I think that I would love to see them release it sooner rather than later. But I don't know. I don't know what they're doing with that game to that point. I would just, like, even if they give us a release date for like a solid release date for 2023, like January, February, I would be totally fine with that. I just really want to see a solid release date so that this game doesn't just get shelved permanently. I think that would be really, really terrible if this game never gets a release date. It's got to come out at some point. They have to release it. But that's what we know about 2022. I'm sure that there are some games that I've forgotten about or left out of my list here. So, again, pretty busy year. Really solid year for Switch. I'm looking forward to a lot of these games. I'm looking forward to doing the sort of end-of-the-year recap because it's been another really busy year on Switch. This platform is firing on all cylinders. And 2023 is also looking to be a busy year. We did get some announcements for 2023 at this partner direct that was supposed to focus on 2022. Like, it was sort of the first thing they said, and then they showed the trailer for or some footage for Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak, a game that was already out, and then they followed that up with like three games that were coming out in 2023. It was very strange. One of the games that they showed in the partner direct coming in 23 is Blanc. This one actually has a release month. This one's coming in February. And this is got a sketchbook, art book, like hand-drawn art style, where you're playing as like a fawn and a fox, and they're solving these sort of puzzles together. Sort of like environmental traversal puzzle. One that they showed was like one is standing on one side of a log, another is standing on the other side, and they sort of have to play this game of seesaw in order to overcome an obstacle. Fully cooperative game. I think it also has online co-op, I think is what they were saying. But this one, I'm looking forward to this one. I'm looking forward to playing this one in co-op. I think it could be really good. Lorelei and the Laser Eyes is one that's coming in 23. This is a really interesting looking one. Sort of a third person puzzle adventure game. I'm looking forward to this. I think this one's going to be pretty cool. I really dig this, the monochromatic, very gothic art style to it. I think it's going to be good. Super Bomberman R is getting a sequel. Super Bomberman R2 is coming in 2023 to the Switch. It's got a new castle mode, which is like setting up ramparts for these larger scale like multiplayer battles. So that one should be pretty fun. I really dug Super Bomberman R when it was a launch game for Switch. And me and my buddy Pedro would play Bomberman in co-op during our lunch breaks back in the day when it came out. So I had a good time with that one. I'll probably end up picking up Bomberman R2 at some point. Mega Man Battle Network Legacy Collections, well, 1 and 2, are coming to Switch in 2023 at some point. There's like 10 of these games, and again, they're splitting up into two collections, or I think they're like making it one SKU if you buy it digitally or something like that. But very cool that these games are getting a collection. I am a lot more likely to buy these since we're moving on to the Game Boy Advance in our retro show. And like most of these games were for the GBA. I think there are a couple of DS games as well. But there are a ton of these Battle Network games. I've only very briefly played one of them. I don't own any of them. So it's nice I'll be able to experience these games on a modern platform. So getting this game is more than likely going to be for research purposes. And then Minecraft Legends was the last game that they talked about in the Partner Direct that's coming in 23. I don't know much about Minecraft. I don't particularly care much about Minecraft, so I'm sure it looks fun to people who are into that sort of thing. So, and there are a few other games that we know about that should be coming in 2023. Breath of the Wild sequel, of course, should be coming next year, possibly even with a Switch 2. Who knows at this point? And then there's a game from the creators of Limbo and Inside called Cocoon. And that is a really interesting looking game. It's a sort of a puzzle adventure game. Not necessarily like as horror-based as something as a Limbo or an Inside. But it also looks like it has layers to it. Much like an onion or a cake or parfait. But the layers are more like an onion, where you're like working your way from the inside out or from the outside and solving these puzzles that will take you from one area of this game and sort of expand you out to the other. The art style also reminds me a bit of Hob, a bit more. It doesn't necessarily have like all the mechanical motifs to it as Hob does. This is more about like planting seeds and something blooming out of a cocoon of sorts. Really interesting looking game. I'm really excited to get that one. That one's going to be a day one buy for me, as will Gumbrella. That's one that we discussed. That was at the latest Indie Direct. Devolver Digital is bringing that one to Switch in 2023. Very excited for that one too. It looks very cool. There was some new footage of Hollow Knight Silk Song. It was like at a Microsoft thing that they did. Then that's like coming day one to Game Pass, but there is no release date for that one yet. That one maybe is coming in 2023. We'll see. Metroid Prime 4 might also be a 2023 game. Could be something that comes out with the Switch 2, as well as Breath of the Wild sequel. We'll see. See if that ends up happening. And Sea of Stars was a game that was supposed to be coming out at the end of this year. That one got delayed into 2023. Lots of other games. No big deal. So there are, you know, a few things that I would like to see happen in 2022 still. We still have not gotten a big, like, Nintendo Direct since earlier in the year. I think close to the beginning of the year. So it would be nice to see a big Direct and have, like, one or two at most new first party games for this year, for the end of the year, for like the, you know, October, November, December sort of time period. Maybe one of those would be Advance Wars, and that would be really nice. But you know, I feel like I say this every year, but like next year with Breath of the Wild and possibly Metroid and possibly a new Mario game, that would be really killer. It's been a really killer year so far. 2023 having like two of those three like high profile series with Zelda and Metroid already coming out allegedly. No, we'll see about Metroid. But you know, it's gotta come out soon. If that game was like announced in 2018 or 2019, and then like said that it was shifting over to a new developer, they're shifting over to Retro back in 2019. So it's been, you know, by the time 2023 rolls around, it'll have been 4 years. So even though we haven't gotten any updates on that one, that one's got to be getting close. If I were to make a bet on it, I would say like when we see that again, possibly next year, but we'll get a solid release date for it when we see it, which will be good. I much prefer when they show games and have solid release dates for them rather than like the situation that we've gotten into with Metroid Prime 4 and Breath of the Wild sequel, where we knew about them so early on that, you know, it's been 4+ years for the both of them, and we've hardly seen anything. I would much rather like known about those games like 8 or 9 months before they actually released. Like kind of what they did with Mario Odyssey and what they did with Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. You know, it's typical of them to announce these things when they are relatively close to release. And every once in a while they'll have these outliers, or they should have just held off on announcing them until they were sure they were going to be able to make a release date. But anyway, that is going to wrap up this little preview show, I suppose, taking a look at the games coming out. Switch is, you know, Switch is really kicking. Got a lot of games coming. But next week, we are going to talk some Pokemon, and then we'll do a mini show and a retro show and wrap it all up with the official show at the end of the month. That's it. That's the end.